Wow, it is really good to be in a room full of people. On a trip we've been planning for like 4 months, it feels like. And to finally be able to get together and honor God. And I think the first thing that you might want to know about me is that I'm actually taller than I look. I am actually 6'5", standing on a milk crate. But the second thing you probably want to know is our names. My name is Tyler. My wife Jen is up front here with me, and our son Macon is 14 months old, and he has been having a blast, I can tell you that. But I also wanted to tell you that Macon was not the first name I suggested for our firstborn son. Jen knows this story. I have a way of trying to come up with interesting names. Thank you. I got it from my dad. My dad, when I was about to be born, he insisted to my grandmother, his mother-in-law, for I don't know how many months, that they were going to name me Fido Mo. Thankfully, he did not hold to that. When we got our dog, her name that she came with is Ellie Mae, which is what we call her, but I wanted to name her Bartholomew J. Woofington III. Jen thought I was silly. But when it came to naming our son, I really truly had a good idea, I thought. I was going to name him Tyson Rex. Tyson because he's Tyler's son, Rex because that's actually my dad's middle name. And oh, by the way, it hardly even occurred to me, hon, that he would have a built-in nickname of T-Rex. And my wife looked at me like that was the strangest thing she'd ever heard. And in particular, she was worried that if he grew up to have unnaturally short arms, that people would make fun of him for being T-Rex with short arms. And so we went around just imagining him doing all of the things that, you know, a preacher would do, you know, like imitating me and, you know, lift your hands in praise. Or, you know, I pray for you to Jesus. Or my favorite, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, long story short, I didn't get to keep the name Tyson Rex. But I got to have a Macon. Macon because that was where Jen and I had our first date. Because that was exactly in the middle of the two places we lived. And Macon is our meeting in the middle, our compromise, and the product of our marriage. So beyond knowing the fact that I'm taller than I look, and beyond knowing our names, I guess you need to know what I'm passionate about. And what I'm passionate about is doing Bible things in community. I'm passionate about making sure that we have an impact on the people around us and that the name of Christ becomes more famous and more loved because of us. And doing Bible things in community is a challenge that every church has. I wanted to open up to sort of the basic challenge that God gives all people, and this is from John chapter 13. This is the amazing passage at the Last Supper when Jesus gets up and washes his disciples' feet. And in the context of that, he says these words, beginning of verse 34. He says, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we all know this, right? We all believe that it is about loving people. That it's about going out and making people know the love of God because we have known the love of God. We know that that's what it's about. But figuring out how to do that, not just as individuals, but as a community, is what the church is about. And so just for instance, just to sort of get the essence of what this means when we're talking about the collective of a church body, try taking the verse and replacing the words one another with Perry, Georgia, right? A new command I give to you, love Perry, Georgia, and Bonaire, and Warner Robins, and help me out, somebody. I didn't understand any of that. Kathleen, and Centerville, and Byron, and all those places we looked for and failed to find houses to live in. The new command I give to you, love Perry, Georgia. As I've loved you, so you must love Perry, Georgia. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love Perry, Warner Robins, Bonaire. I'll stop. See, this is the challenge that we have. How to love community to community and city to city. And truth be told, this is the model presented to us in Scripture. Paul, perhaps the greatest evangelist ever to live outside of Jesus, I guess. I don't know if he was an evangelist, but Paul was the guy that spread the gospel, right? And how did he do it? He went town to town, city to city, on his missionary journey, stopping one place to another and figuring out what that city and that town was about and how to spread the gospel to them. And so Paul is going on these missionary journeys, and he stops in a place called Philippi, and he goes to get water, and he meets a lady named Lydia. And from there they begin a house church, and they begin to make an impact on the city of Philippi. Or he goes to Athens, and he looks around in the marketplace, and he sees all these idols, and he finds a way to get through to them. And so Paul goes to the Areopagus, and he begins to debate with them because they were philosophers and wanted to talk ideas. And he knew that that was what would reach them, so that's where he goes. Or he ends up in the town of the Bereans, right? And he's talking to them about Scripture because they were fascinated by Scripture itself. Or he goes to Ephesus or to one of the synagogues in the other towns, and he always finds a way, town by town, to figure out how to love that town in their unique context and make a difference. That is how Paul modeled loving one another. That's how he modeled what the church is supposed to be about. And so this idea of thinking about it in the collective, about doing Bible things in community, is exactly what we see in Scripture. Now, I'll tell you just a little bit more about myself. The last 5 years, Jen and I have been ministering in a rather unexpected place. I mean, I'm from Noonan, Georgia. I'm from 2 hours north of here. But we ended up ministering in rural southeast Kansas. It's called Thayer, Kansas. It's a place where there are more cows than people. The people are less than perhaps your graduating high school class. Most of them are farmers. We have zero traffic lights, but we have 2 steakhouses. I kid you not. Thayer, Kansas is an amazing place, but it was an unexpected place. And for us to go out there and to learn their culture and to understand them, I spent months making fun of all the things about farming I didn't understand. Did you know that most of the cows in the field are girls? I didn't. We had to learn their culture and what they were about. We had to find a way to reach out to them. And one of the things we learned is the sense of community pride in every town out there. These towns that have been around a long time, these towns that are feeling the strain of just sort of decreased population and wondering how much longer they can hold on. And their high schools are consolidating, and not every town has one anymore, and Thayer doesn't. And that sense of community being lost is the fear underneath all of it. And so we found ways to bring energy and excitement into that community, to let people know that they haven't lost community. They are recreating it in the body of Christ. And at homecoming, we would set up church in the middle of the park. And you'd have 240 people on blankets and lawn chairs in the middle of town on homecoming weekend, praising Jesus. And I'm not saying that because we got everything right, but once in a while we got something right. And by the grace of God, we got the chance to do things that encouraged people in their context and where they were. And the truth be told, I don't know Perry as well as I know Thayer. I don't. And I've got a lot to learn about this place and this area and the people around here. And I so much look forward, if you will allow me, to learning this area and these people and what it is that speaks to them. But here are the things that I do know about how to love a city. A few months ago, we had an elders retreat, and we invited in a speaker to sort of inspire a little bit of leadership, and he posed this question that stuck in my mind, and it was, I know how to love people, but how do I love a city? That's abstract, you know what I mean? It's hard to put your finger on that. And he had this suggestion that really stuck out to me. Excuse me a second. He said, well, if you want to know what a city is all about, just stop at one of the intersections and watch for a while. Go to the corner of, you know, Main Street and Third Street. That probably doesn't make any sense, but you know what I'm saying. And just sit there and watch. And if you sat there long enough at the intersections and watched what people did, you'd actually learn a lot about the city. You'd learn that so-and-so gets their groceries every day at this time, and so-and-so drops their kids off over here, and here's where the pool is and the library, and boy, there's a lot of young mothers, but there's also some widows, you know, who don't really have a whole lot to do, and there's some houses that need cleaned up over here. If you really sat there and paid attention, you could get a feel of the whole city out of one intersection. And so his advice on how to love a city was to start with the intersection and work from there. And that really stuck to me, because that made sense to me. It even made sense on a biblical level as I started thinking through Scripture and how the gospel was spread. I looked and I found story after story in which the gospel was spread, not just in a church building, but on roads and pathways, and on the way somewhere, and in a marketplace. If you were to say, go to Acts chapter 8, and you look at Philip, the evangelist, and him talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and they're riding down the road, and sure enough, he stops him on the road to tell him about Jesus Christ. Or Jesus, who stops to get water, the woman at the well, and tells her on his way, on his journey somewhere. Or the road to Emmaus, after Jesus was resurrected, right? And the believers are walking down the road on their way somewhere, and that's where they encounter Jesus. Or the road to Damascus, when Paul is converted and Jesus shows up to him and his entire life changes. Or the Good Samaritan, where the guy's walking along the road and Jesus tells the parable, and he's sort of mugged, I suppose, and beaten and left on the side, and someone comes along and helps him. Or the aforementioned Lydia and Philippi. Over and over and over again, people are reached on the way to somewhere else. Roads, at intersections, at places where people's lives converge. And out of that, churches are launched. Out of that, the gospel is spread. Out of that, cities are loved. And so when the speaker told us that, it made a lot of sense. It's the walking along the road every day going gospel. And that's how you love a city. And that's just a start. That's not everything, but it certainly is a beginning. If you were to go to Luke chapter 14, and I love this passage, but it's the story of the highways and the byways, right? And how they go out and they invite people and not everyone comes. And we're literally told to go out onto the roads and to find people. Luke 14 and verse 23. It says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Anyway, the point being, literally in the parable, we are told to go out to the highways and the byways and the intersections and find people and bring them in. It is, in fact, the walking along the road, everyday going gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know this community well enough, but I do know that all of you have intersections of influence in your life somewhere. All of you have maybe not a literal intersection of streets, but an intersection of your lives with other people. And it is in your coming and going that you can have influence and make a difference. It's hard sometimes to stop and slow down at these intersections. I know if you're like me, sometimes if the light's green, you're just blowing through that intersection, right? You never stop and slow down. Or if you are stopped, it's weird. It's only like 30 seconds of waiting, but we pull out our phone and start reading, right? And if we're all moving 90 miles an hour all the time, we're probably not going to notice what's going on at the intersection. We're not going to notice the people. That goes in life too. If you get too fast and go too hurriedly, you don't notice them. It's hard to spread the gospel that way. And by the way, not that I don't have compassion for everything that's going on with COVID-19, but by the way, if there was ever a time which we were forced to slow down and pay attention to people's needs, it happened, right? You can't run around 100 miles an hour anymore. You kind of got to slow down. It's like the speed limit got set in our lives. Maybe we ought to pay attention. And more than that, I know that you guys have those intersections, and you'll have to think of that yourself. I can't tell you all of them, but a few examples would be, you know, your child or grandchild is on a sports team, and there's all these other parents that are at all these games and these activities, and it seems like you spend 90% of your life out there. Well, have you ever invited them over on one night of the week just to get to know one of those parents or families? Have you ever just said, hey, I'd like to get to know you more. Can I pray for you? Is something going on? Little things like that make all the difference in the world. And the truth is we have to slow down and actually have a night of the week open to do that. But when we do, we get to actually pay attention to who's crossing through our intersections. Do you help out here at the church in the nursery or in Sunday school or children's church? And do you know all the parents who bring their kids along? Do you stop and pray for them? Do you just knock on their house and say, hey, can I sit on the porch with you and talk about what's going on? Are you actually paying attention to those intersections in your life? Do you see the same clerk at the grocery store almost every week? Do you actually know their name? Or what they struggle with? Can you tell them the coming and going everyday walking faith of Jesus Christ? And there are 1,000 more examples and 1,000 that you could come up with yourself, but I hope that you're getting the idea that the way to love a city is to start in your intersection and to work out from that. Because you can't love a whole row of streets, but you can love a certain place where people cross through. And someone is crossing through our lives. And I hope that that is a challenge and an encouragement. Because the truth is, we all want to love one another better. But we've been struggling to figure out how. I wanted to share one story with you. Someone who surprisingly crossed through my path recently. Well, a few years ago. But in Thayer, Kansas, of all places, we have a surprising number of teachers. A lot of people who work in the school system. And not that that's all that surprising, but we do. And there in Thayer, Kansas, one of our teachers made friends with another teacher who was in town teaching Spanish, who was literally from Spain. This teacher, her name's actually Paloma. I can't pronounce the last name, so I'm not going to try. But Paloma was in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, teaching Spanish. And she comes from a background of a strong, I guess, Catholic background, but she lost her faith along the way. And she had a perspective of the world that I should be careful with this, but you would probably describe as European, broadly speaking. And mostly not a person of faith. Paloma started coming to our church because this one teacher in our church invited her. And she needed to know some people. And so she came along. And she started attending services, and she loves music. She plays the guitar, and so they got her playing some music with the band once in a while, and she got to listening to some Christian songs, and she listened to my sermons, apparently, which I was glad. And she started messaging me. She started sending me emails and messages just on Facebook with questions about faith and why you would believe this and what's this or that. And man, sometimes I want to go back and print those conversations because there'd be pages and pages of them. But over the course, she was there probably 2 or 3 years, I think. We got to talk a lot about Jesus. Strange, in the middle of Kansas, run into someone from Spain, but nonetheless, that's what happened. About a year, maybe a year and a half, she went back to Spain. And every week she watches our sermon on Facebook. I kid you not. On Facebook, you know, when you do this live streaming, we're all kind of new to it, but it gives you the statistics of where people are from, the most common places people are from who watch your services. And you go down the list, and it's like Kansas, of course, and number 2 is like Missouri, which makes sense because we're right next door to Missouri. And then it's like Georgia, and I'm like, well, that's my parents. And then it's Florida, okay, that's Jen's parents. But the 5th one on our list is some random region in Spain. Because someone in Spain is watching our sermons. And I have to imagine someone in Facebook is looking at this going, hey, Mark, you think that algorithm's correct? Like, what an assortment of places is that? Kansas, Missouri, Georgia, Florida, and Spain? But it goes to show that you never know who's going to come into your intersection. And you start out by loving a city, a place, the people in your intersection, but in amazing ways, God grows that beyond that intersection. And in surprising ways, you influence others beyond that circle. Because that's just where it begins. I mean, in Acts, they started out with, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Which is exactly what happened from the first verse of Acts to the end of it. God grows your circle. But you start out of your intersection. And that is how you love one another. Today, I don't pretend to have all the answers, and I certainly don't pretend to have anything figured out. But I do have a compelling call in my life to do Bible things in community. And it's my goal to help people do that better. And if you will humbly give me the opportunity to come here and try to figure out what that looks like in Perry, Kansas, I would be thrilled. I almost got through it without a mistake. We've been on the road for like umpteen hours, okay? If you will give me the opportunity to figure out what that looks like in Perry, Georgia, I would really enjoy that. So I'm not pleading for anything. I want you to know where my heart is, and I hope that we can align our hearts with God's heart and learn how to love one another. So thank you for your time today, and I just pray for God's will and God's decision, and I hope very soon to be working with you guys and getting to know you as we figure out how to love one another in biblical ways and in community. God in heaven, I thank you for a chance to come here today. I thank you for getting us here safely. I thank you for the leadership of this church that I know has that heart of wanting to love others better and make a difference. And I pray that if it is your will and it is a match that you have created, that we might have that opportunity to do that together with these people here in Georgia. And I just ask that right now, because this is a church service, I pray that you're getting the honor and glory through the songs that we sing, through the message. I hope, God, that you are inspired in, that you inspired it in that. I hope people are challenged and inspired to do more and to become closer to you. And I pray that in communion, there's a quiet time there to reflect on what you're saying, that you work in our hearts and grow us. But Lord, this service is not about me. It's about you. And it's about what you want to do here. And if it's not me, it'll be someone else. But this is already the mission of this place. So help us in your wonderful grace to live it out. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.